This sermon today is based on Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. If you want a pen and you want to take notes, then they will be coming around as well. Now, as those are coming around, I'm going to pray, and then we will get into it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you call people to be your disciples. Thank you that this is based not on how worthy they are or how well talented, but on your own grace and your own forgiveness. And so please open up your word for us today and fill us with your Holy Spirit and with the hope and joy of following you. In your name we pray. Amen. Today, my friends, I'm preaching on the calling of the first disciples from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. I've had an immensely busy week, and so the way that I've structured my sermon today is based on the alliteration of, I think it's six F words. So please forgive me, I don't normally do this way, but sometimes it's just the way that it works. So the words are fisherman, futility, fruitfulness, fear, forgiveness, and following. And I'm going to look at each of them, and each of those describe a part of our text today. First of all, fishermen. Can someone find Luke chapter 5? And when you have found that, read out really nice and loud for us verse 1 to 3, please. Luke 5, verse 1 to 3. Fishermen, why is that important? Well, ordinary people who encounter Jesus are actually transformed by him. When you think about it, back in a day without showers or running water or anything like that, fishermen were manual laborers who worked hard with physical things, and particularly sometimes they probably would have been quite smelly, okay? They worked with fish. They worked with seaweed and boats and all of that kind of thing. Fishermen were fairly far down the social scale in Israel in Jesus' day. And yet Jesus calls these ordinary people to do something extraordinary. And for us too, as St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, maybe not many of us were rich or wise or talented or any of those things when God called us to be his followers. But as we ordinary people encounter Jesus and as we follow him, we are transformed. I want to look very briefly at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Too many things up here. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I'm going to read this one out. But this is after Jesus is risen from the dead, and Peter and John are preaching the word of God in Jerusalem. They're actually arrested, and they're brought before the high council. And Peter stands up, and he fearlessly says, "Salvation is found in no one else." This is Acts 4, verse 12. "For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When the council saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Walking with Jesus changes us. Fishermen, ordinary people, low down the social scale, become the chosen instruments for God to spread the good word, the good news of Jesus, and to build the church. So, no matter how ordinary our lives may be, Jesus calls us as well. And as we walk with him, we are transformed, just like the fishermen were. Honey, would you give a copy of the sermon to Aaron and John, please? So, that's fishermen. Ordinary people who encounter Jesus are transformed, just like you and me, my friends. The second F word is futility. And that word is found in Luke 5, verse 4 to 5. So if someone is still there, we'll read those next two verses. Futility. I wonder if you've ever felt like Peter. We have worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Really, what is the point? Let me be honest here and say that sometimes in church planting and sometimes in working for God and for the gospel, it feels like our work is futile. It feels like, what is the point? We have exhausted ourselves. We've done all this for you, God, and there is no result. Futility, what is the point? But the point of this is that we actually can't do God's work on our own. We can't do God's work in our own strength. A verse that has been coming to me over and over this year for our church and what God is doing among us is this verse, Zechariah 4, verse 6. Now, Zechariah's towards the end of the Old Testament, it's actually before the prophets. So if someone finds that verse before I do, please. Yep. Okay, so this is God talking to a man called Zerubbabel about building his temple. And what he says is, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And when we as a church community and we as individual Christians try and do God's work in our own power and strength, it's like the fishermen who say, what's the point? We've worked hard all night and we haven't caught a single thing. And once again, I have felt that way in our 4 years of planting a church here. You know, there were times when we had 4 or 5 people gathered for worship as our whole congregation. There were times when I was the only person who turned up for something that we had organized. And it was really hard not to get despondent and to go, Jesus, I've worked hard and I haven't caught anything. But Peter believes the word of Jesus. He says, Jesus, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Not by might, not by power, but by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. And God is doing something significant and amazing amongst us, as he did with these fishermen. As we listen to the voice of the Spirit together, and as we get involved with what God is doing, and remember that it's about him and not about us and not about Nathan and not about our strategies and plans, but about the work of the Holy Spirit, something remarkable happens. And that remarkable thing is the third word, which is fruitfulness. Now, I could have used the word fish here, because that's what this next bit of the passage is about. So, can someone read Luke 5, verse 6 to 7? Out of futility comes fruitfulness, and this is how it happens. Obedience to Jesus leads to amazing blessings. Listening to the voice of God and doing what God says leads to great fruitfulness. And these fishermen have fished all of their lives. It's been their trade. And they have never, ever seen a catch like this. When we listen to Jesus and work with what he is doing, we see amazing blessings. We follow Jesus in faith, that is, we trust in his promise. And in this case, the promise was very simple. Put out into deep water and let down the nets and you will get a catch. You know, that's the promise of Jesus. And he is getting through to these simple fishermen in a way that they could clearly understand. Catching as many fish as might sink your boat, right? My dad is a fisherman. He's never caught that many fish. These guys had never seen anything like it. They were amazed. So we follow Jesus in faith, that is, we trust in his promises, and we also follow him in obedience. Now, some Lutherans get a bit twitchy when they hear the word obedience. They go, oh, no, we can't bring that into it because that's not what saves us. It's the grace of God that saves us. Brett is grinning at me. But when we hear and do the word of Jesus, we don't do it in order to be saved, because it is indeed God's grace that saves us. But we do obedience to Jesus because we know that God wants a blessing for us. And what God says is good for us. So when Jesus says, let the boat out into deep water and let the nets down for a catch, he wants a blessing for those guys, for those fishermen. He wants to bless them beyond their wildest dreams, beyond their bounds. And just a couple of chapters later, in Luke chapter 7, where Jesus is teaching his people, and I'm going to read this one, Luke 7, verse 47 to 49, Jesus says, Luke 6, sorry. Luke 6, verse 47 to 49. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on solid rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. When we follow Jesus in faith and obedience, when we trust his promise and obey what he says to us because we know that it's going to be good for us, we see an amazing blessing. And another word that's been in my mind that I believe is from the Holy Spirit, and we need to test that together as a community, is that God is saying, you will be amazed at what I will do with your little church. You'll be astonished. It's the same word as the fishermen. They were astonished. They were amazed. They were blown away by this catch of fish that Jesus gave to them. We saw something like that last Sunday, did we not, those of us who were here? The baptism of Craig. New life to a man who had been dying. And I know a lot more of Craig's story than I'm able to tell you, because that is his story. But let me tell you, that is a miracle. Craig coming to faith is a miracle almost beyond anything else I've seen in my ministry. And I have a sense that God is saying, I'm not done with you. I'm just getting started. Hold on for the ride. You will be amazed at what I will do. Because Jesus wants a blessing for his people. Jesus wants to draw all people to the Father through his forgiveness. Jesus doesn't want anyone to be separated from the love of the Father. And he is the one who is at work amongst us and in our community, drawing people that we don't even know yet to faith in Christ. Fruitfulness. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this. This is Paul praying for the Ephesians. He says, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Jesus is able to make so many fish come into those nets of the fishermen that the boats are about to sink. What is it that God might be asking us to ask or imagine that he could do amongst us? Maybe we need to pray that God would expand our imagination and help us to see the amazing power that is at work within us for the glory of God. Now, you would think that this amazing catch of fish, this astonishing miracle, would have Peter and the other fishermen rejoicing, right? My dad rejoices whenever he catches a good fish, and he does catch some good ones. He's caught some really big shark, some small sailfish, crayfish. He always sends us photos, right? He always goes, look at this catch that I've caught. But actually, Peter's response is not amazement, but what? Fear. What does he do? He sees this catch of fish. He knows what it means. It means that this Jesus, this man who has been preaching and teaching, is actually God amongst us. And he falls to his knees and he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." He is terrified. He knows that his sinfulness and God's holiness can't coexist in the same space. He knows that Jesus has the power to squish him like a bug. And he knows that Jesus knows what he's like. And he's scared. He's scared. Let's read those verses. Luke 5, verse 8 to 10. Who's got that one? Fear is Simon's response. Not excitement, not a selfie with all his fish. Fear, fear of Jesus. Simon the sinner, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Well, what about us? You know, it's not about our worthiness. Jesus' call to us is not based on the fact that we are sinless. It's actually about the fact that we are sinners who are saved by grace, who can then share that message with others. Martin Luther once said, "We are beggars, it is true." And someone said, sharing the good news of Jesus is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Our worthiness doesn't lie in us. It lies in the call of Jesus. And Simon Peter gives me hope, you know. When I think about Peter's life, he was this impetuous, loud-mouthed, cowardly, brave, impulsive man, right? He had all these faults and flaws, and yet he loved his Lord, and Jesus chose him to be the one who would be the head of the church. So if Jesus can do that with Simon Peter, then surely he can do something with me. You know, I might not have all the same faults that Simon Peter has, but boy, I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I need God's forgiveness and I need the grace of Jesus. This is hope and good news for us. And the hope and the good news comes in Jesus' response to Peter. So if we could have someone just read Luke 5, verse 10. 10b. I'll read it. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Jesus' response to Simon's fear is forgiveness. Just like Isaiah in the passage that Tim read to us, where Isaiah sees the Lord and he is terrified. He says, "Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty." And God sends an angel to take the coal from the altar, the holy things, and touch the lips of Isaiah and to say, "Now you are cleansed, now you are forgiven, your guilt is atoned, and now you can go and speak the word of the Lord." And that's exactly what Jesus does with Simon. Don't be afraid. Jesus is not here to judge you and squish you like a bug because you're imperfect. He's here to forgive you and to place in your mouth the word of God, the good news of what Jesus has done and his grace, not just for us, but for all people. Our call, our holiness, our worthiness depends only on Jesus and on his forgiveness. And Jesus' forgiveness is always the basis of our following of Jesus in daily life. The one qualification for fishing for people, the one qualification for sharing the good news and telling others about Jesus is knowing the truth that you are a forgiven sinner. That's the only qualification. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need a great deal of scripture knowledge, although getting into God's word certainly helps. The one qualification is knowing in depth of your being that Jesus has shown you grace and forgiveness. So that leads us into the final word, which is following. Luke 5, verse 11. Can someone read that? Jesus' call is to follow him, to walk with him, to learn from him, to fish for people. And you know, you've all heard our church's mission is to invite and equip people to walk with the risen Jesus. That's what we're on about. We're on about growing and learning and following Jesus and helping others to do the same thing. You might think that you're not worthy or you're not ready or you're not equipped for this. But Jesus is the one who makes us worthy. Jesus does not call those who are equipped. Ah, excellent. Nathan has a seminary degree in theology. Therefore, he can go out and spread the good news. No, Jesus equips those who are called. He says, come and follow me. And as you do that in daily life, I will be the one who will teach you and who will help you to grow and who will lead you to be a fisher of people. The natural outcome of Jesus' call on us and his forgiveness for us is a life of walking with him. It's a life of Christian living. It's a life of following Jesus, and it's a life of, in the ways that we are able to, sharing the good news. And as we do so, you know, you don't have to be Freud or to understand dream analysis to understand exactly the point that Jesus is making with this catch of fish and these fishermen. He said, I'm paraphrasing here, okay, but this is what Jesus' actions say. He says, you think you're astonished at a catch of fish that can sink your boat? You ain't seen nothing yet. You are going to fish for people, and you can expect God to be at work and to do amazing, astonishing things that will leave this catch of fish in the shade. And that happens on Pentecost Day. Peter stands up before a huge crowd. He preaches the good news to the people, and 5,000 people in that one day turn to Jesus and are baptized and join the church. We can hope for and we can expect a catch, an amazing work of God, not our own work, but God's work among us. So I'm going to get really practical now. Many of you already have a prayer card for our church. And on that card it says, I will pray John 3:16 for these four people for 1 year. Who has such a prayer card already? Who's got it with them? That's okay. Stephen is now handing around a box which has these prayer cards in it. You can grab another one if you've already got one, that's fine. Grab the card and a pen, or if you've already got your card, pull it out, and we're going to briefly share it with a person next to us. And the questions I want to ask you are, where is your network? Who are the people among whom Jesus has called you to be fishers of people? Who are the people that God might be encouraging you to pray for? Remember, it's Jesus' job to provide the fruitfulness. He's the one who provides the fish. He just calls us to walk with him and learn from him and to pray and to speak about him. So on this card, it's got four lines that you can fill in. A friend, a family member, a neighbor, and a workmate or a teammate. Now, you might like to change those around. You might have three friends and one workmate that you want to pray for. That's fine, okay? But I invite you right now to fill in that card, to think about the people that God might call you to be fishers of people among. And then briefly, after you've filled it out, or if you've already got it filled out, share this with the person next to you. Who are your people? You don't have to say a great deal about them. And what might Jesus be calling you to do with that? So I'll give you a minute to talk to each other about that, or 2 minutes maybe. Okay, how are we going? Have we had a chance to share, or one more minute? One more minute? Yeah. Okay, let me sum up. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. fishermen, ordinary people who encounter Jesus are transformed. Futility, in our own strength, we never can do anything, but God's strength can do all things. Fruitfulness, obedience to Jesus leads us into amazing blessings. Fear, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Forgiveness, do not be afraid, from now on you will fish for people. And following, walking with Jesus, the risen Jesus, in day-to-day life, and inviting and equipping other people to do that. Jesus says to you, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Amen.